Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah! And some waves, so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that!
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in!
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it!
Tanner girl go shopping.
Yeah, baby!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Listen.
Get over here.
Hey, games fans. Welcome to One Upsmanship, the show about game folk. I'm your host, hey. Dave. Coming at you, Dave Bell.
Well, wait, I said you can intro, not be a host, Dave. I didn't promote
also,
you.
Also, he used. Here. Well, I'm just honored he even used the proper name of the show. That was
he
more deference than I thought he'd give us.
I was almost
going to
do frame
us.
Rate. Yeah. I was almost going to say frame rate, too.
The show where we rate frames.
Yeah, yeah.
But video game frames. They have frames. Who says they don't?
They have frames. They have a lot of them.
More every generation per second. More frames. They just keep throwing more frames in your eyes. thank you for that beautiful intro, guest host David Bell. I am one of your permanent hosts, Adam Ganser. With me, the fabulous and the beautiful.
And Michael Swaim, who I won't call a permanent host because is anything truly permanent? Are we not all ephemeral?
I don't know. I couldn't say. Like, is there a different universe or, I guess, a different dimension where... Dave replaces you. You know,
I mean, maybe like, things are forever. Maybe we're all living out the same day on a loop and don't realize it.
Yeah,
I see what he's driving at. That's right. We're talking death loop.
Yeah, we are.
We've been meaning to do this one for quite some time. If you heard our Game of the Year episode, it featured in it prominently. So very excited to talk death loop. Thanks for joining us for Thloop, Dave.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I'm very excited.
Yeah.
I'm a very excited man.
You loved this game when we talked about you, Dave. I'm not saying what your final opinion is going to be, but when we were talking about it, like, you know, 6 months ago or whatever that was, or 20 years ago, I don't remember. You really, really enjoyed it, right?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay.
Spoilers.
So yeah,
this episode, but yes, I am pro Deathloop.
Yeah.
We'll have Dave on any old time to talk about any old thing because we're kind of sister podcast networks, but
true,
there was a specific reasoning to him being on the Deathloop episode, and I think that will become evident in our first segment. So let's pass a checkpoint, which I guess just means we wake up hungover on a beach.
Mm-hmm. Probably. I mean, also, that's when Dave gets the notice, put on the mask. Put on the mask, Dave.
Mm-hmm.
Now it begins. You know,
it begins, and by it begins, we mean the speed run. So usually we have our guest, after the point at which I say start the clock, describe this game in a nutshell to someone who's maybe not heard so much about it before. Dave, are you prepared for that?
Sure, fuck it.
Then start the clock.
Alrighty. Deathloop is, well, you play as a gentleman named Colt. You are stuck on the island of Black Reef. It is, I believe, the 1960s, 70s? I think 60s. You're on this island. You wake up on the beach every morning, and you are in a time loop. on this island filled with people who aren't aware that they're on the time loop. You are also being hunted by everyone. You are wanted. Luckily, you can sneak underground in a series of sewer areas, which you can use to get to various points on this island, such as Updam and the complex. There's, I believe, four. Mm-hmm. Every time you move to one of these areas, time advances in the day. So you have these four areas, and I believe these four or five moments in the day
four
that you get to work with.
Yeah, four
Is
times
it four?
A day. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This all builds to the end of the night where there's a party on one section of the island that plays out every single day. So nobody remembers their loop except for you. So therefore, you want to get out of the loop. You are in hell. So your goal is to assassinate eight visionaries during a single day. You have to do it during the day because it'll loop back again otherwise. And these visionaries aren't all in the same place. Again, you only have about four places to go during the day, and there are eight of them. So your goal is to play through the loop over and over again to figure out everybody's activities during the day and change the timeline enough to get everyone in clusters in the same place so that you can finally do a loop where you assassinate them all in one go, therefore breaking the loop. Certain items can be augmented while you go through the loop. For example, various technologies you get from killing these visionaries along the way. You often assassinate them beforehand while, you know, researching them. Meanwhile, a lady named Juliana is a agent who is there to protect the loop from you. She also seems immune to the memory-altering aspects of the loop, so she will periodically show up to stop you. In theory, she is played by an actual other player who is able to jump into the game, but we'll get into that. And that is... I'm just giving myself a little more time. The point is to have more time, right? To do it longer.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You're killing it.
Okay. And that's it. That's it.
Okay.
Stop that clock.
Beautiful
it
work.
It just occurred to me
Did
just now.
Anything?
Great work. Do you think he's called Colt because he's a repeater?
Is
that anything?
I don't know. I mean,
I didn't mean that as a shitty joke. I mean, like, I think that could be.
Yeah. No. That
a
could
reference.
Be it.
I don't know.
I mean, it's possible. You know,
anything's possible.
Everything is. That's one thing this game proves is that everything is possible. You did beautiful, Dave. It was just a gorgeous speedrun. Yeah,
I'm
just
glad.
Gorgeous.
I tried.
Kind
of an FPS time puzzle.
Logic. Yeah. It is. It is more puzzle than you'd think, and also for those of you who track studios, this was done by Arkane, who was famous for Prey, and also for the Dishonored franchise. Mm.
They're famous for Dishonored.
Yeah.
Prey kind of flopped, but I really liked it.
I liked Prey a lot. and I liked Dishonored a lot, both of them. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so that leads us to our next segment. We'll pass a checkpoint, meaning we wake up on that beach again. Dave straps on that mask again. And we do it all over, only this time with rants. Who you want to go first, Mike? You? Me?
I think I'm going to force you to because you weaseled out of doing the intro the top of the episode.
Oh, God. You know why? Because I planned this day perfect, baby. This is how I break that loop.
That's right. This was the puzzle. You got to at least do the first rant.
That's
Give
fair.
Us your
okay.
Rant.
Great. Player one, Adam Ganser, strapping in. Deathloop is the best game of 2021, in my opinion. I said that elsewhere. I'll say it again. This game is fantastic. Deathloop is the best game Arkane has made, in my opinion. Deathloop is a perfect combination of the things that Arkane has been known for. Namely, there's a little bit of, like, magic sorcery. Like, sometimes it's mind control, sometimes it's zipping around teleporting. And, like, so it's a much more dynamic shooter in that way. And it's a much more stealth-based shooter than you're used to in a first-person shooter. Like, it's much easier to navigate this game not killing everybody. Although killing people and tossing them aside like ragdolls, nobody has done it better than this game did it. It's really fun. And also consequence-free, which is a thing they keep talking about. What the game actually ends up being is kind of really more of a research project. Like, you're trying to figure out through clues and stuff, like what
exactly. Yeah, Dave used the word research in the speedrun.
And I think that's right. Notably, it's really about trying to, you have to navigate these spaces to find the clues that will then help you basically like put together the plan. Like you're sort of strategizing for a plan. It's almost like playing The Wire, but with more shootouts. And less less meaningful work. It's a lot more stupid than that. But it's similar in that it's a lot more watching stuff happen and reading clues and trying to piece things together. That's what I mean by that. Than I expected. And that turned out to be more fun than I expected. I think that they... like, it's interesting how toned down in terms of the bloodiness of it, it is like, it's much more like, feels like you're shooting people that are more like, they don't feel like people, in part because they're always on masks and you know they're coming back and they don't bleed a lot. Like, it's just not very grisly. It's a lot more sort of like playful. And I think that's to the advantage of this game, because otherwise I think you'd start to feel more warped by what you're doing. And the game never really wants to like get into the philosophy of all this. Like, it's really a lot more interested in just, like, the mechanics. Like, hey, play through the mechanics and solve the mystery, and you'll also figure out what you're doing here. Now, some people were disappointed by the ending, and I understand why, because there wasn't a lot of emotions with the wrapping up of the plot. But I think, hey, man, it had about as much emotional catharsis as, like, Memento did. Like, it's not as dire as Memento, but the plot loops, you know, finally unraveled, and I liked the story as it was written out and the choices that I got to make. And the relationship between Colt and Juliana was interesting and was satisfactorily wrapped up, in my opinion. And, yeah, I mean, so overall, I think this game is a very strong outing. My favorite so far from Arcane, also a great promise for what may come again in the future. Loved it.
All right. We'll go easy on Dave. Give him some time to put his thoughts together. Player
no,
two
wait,
strapping
wait,
in.
No.
No?
Wait. I always get stressed out because I'm scared you're going to say the thing I already want to say. And then my rant is me going, what they said.
Hmm.
Garbage house interjecting himself
I'm
now.
I'm just saying, you can go first, but then it runs the risk of me going, well, they already said the things I feel.
Everything's a risk. Every decision creates other possible outcomes, Dave.
Yeah, let's put it this way. You've already stolen the momentum from me and shifted the river in a new direction. So let's go with that flow.
Classic.
Dave, will you please be our player two rant?
Yeah, Dave Sandwich. First of all, I agree with you, Adam, about the story. Story is simple, but that's kind of what I like about Deathloop across the board, is that it's not very complicated for what it's trying to be. It actually made me feel very nostalgic. It reminded me of old first-person shooter games of the era of, I would say, maybe GoldenEye, maybe like Return to Castle Wolfenstein. And part of that has to do with those types of games have a you tend to like play over and over again, or at least I did. They had a limited amount of levels and you have to keep playing them, and since the AI is so simple, you kind of get used to what the AI is doing and you find weird little meta cheats in the game. And that's very much what happens in this game. I think by design, I think most of the AI are supposed to be people who are partying, so they're like not very smart. The need to be stealth, true, you can be stealth, but honestly, my biggest mistake was playing this game stealth at first. The moment I realized, oh, I can just shoot everybody in this room and the people in the room next to it aren't really going to notice, I just started doing that because it didn't matter, because the AI was very basic. There's not many, I guess, levels or maps that you have to deal with, so you just start getting that, like, that's where all the nostalgia came from. You start finding weird little cheats, ways to like go into an area and kill everybody there without really like leaving one part. It's a puzzle game. I suspect it's more of a puzzle game than a first person shooter. I suspect there's not too many ways to solve the puzzle, and in fact there might be just one. And so part of the fun is also deciding how you're going to play the game. For example, you have all those powers. I barely used the powers. I mostly used turrets. That was my favorite thing to do, is throw turrets into a room and then just let the turrets take care of everything. Which, again, something about that felt very nostalgic to me. Something about how this whole game functions. Because it's more of a puzzle game, they don't emphasize the first-person shooting. It's not that much of a challenge. Like, the final loop I played was no sweat. I just played it, never had to do it again. It's not a particularly hard game. It's a fun game to zone out into. It kind of reminds me of like the first Doom for that reason, even though they're tonally completely different and the gameplay is even different. I think the biggest hit I have against the game is the stuff where someone else is supposed to come in and stop you. As what's her name?
Juliana.
Juliana. Because I just never, that never worked. I did an AI for that. So it was just always, it was never a challenge. It was always just an inconvenience throughout. I think overall, I really enjoyed this game, but I do think it is hopefully going to get a sequel, and that sequel will be way better. This feels to me like the start of something that's going to, we're going to hit the sequel and we're going to be like, oh, well, this is the game. This is the thing. I think like say the Spider-Man games, this has potential for every sequel to just get better and better. As long as it plays off of its strengths and doesn't like deviate a lot. I think with a little more budget, bigger maps, stronger puzzles. I think the puzzles weren't that strong. I think we could get an even better version of this. So like playing this, once I finished it, one of my first thoughts was, man, I can't wait for Deathloop 2. Overall, I think, yeah, the strength of this game is its simplicity, and the weird nostalgia and triggered, and just that it's very unique, very fun. That's all I got to say in my rant.
May I rant now?
Certainly. Certainly. It's rant o'clock for you.
Yeah. Swim. I'm sorry if I'm hijacking this.
Waiting for Dave to weigh in.
I'm sorry.
No. Please.
No.
That's the guest prerogative. I believe we set ourselves up for that when we seeded the intro to you. That sort of set us off on this path.
I like that subtly shading me as though I'm responsible for Dave's choices, which I'm not.
You've let him run amok. Yeah, it's you.
It's not.
You were the Juliana that was supposed to protect the loop, and you let it get out of hand.
Well, I have some counterpoints to Dave's cult-esque movements, but we'll get to it after your rant.
I do, too. I agree and disagree. I agree very much with the nostalgic feeling, the feeling of playing a level over and over again and getting your favorite path, your favorite methodology. So cool, and very cool that you can do it stealth, you can do it with turrets, you can do it with magic, you can do it in all these different ways. But at the same time, the puzzle, I believe, only has one solution. And I actually find that a strength. It's a logic puzzle, and it is only as long as it takes you to figure out the puzzle. And once you figure out the puzzle, it ends itself. It almost is a perfect storytelling device insofar as so many games overstay their welcome these days and are like, okay, now we spit you back out into the main world and you can capture 30 more bases if you want or whatever. I don't care. Turn the game off when you get bored. Deathloop is like, no, this is the fucking story. You finish the story, get the fuck out of here. Which is where, that's why I kind of disagree, only in that, not that I wouldn't want a Deathloop 2, but I don't immediately see it as conducive to a sequel. I saw it as very self-contained. I love Colt and Juliana. I love the Saul Bass aesthetic. But I almost could see Arkane going back to Dishonored before they would continue Deathloop. But I could be wrong, and money changes everything. So, you know, whatever happens, happens. But the reason I say that is, I personally would still put Dishonored 2 as Arkane's best game for me, only because of unique things that you could do that you can't really replicate in Deathloop, like mind controlling, linking three people together, mind controlling one, having them shoot a bullet, freezing time, possessing a rat, moving behind the bullet, turning back into a human and letting the bullet hit you in the head. There was this like very complex methodology by which you could navigate Dishonored that I think Deathloop sort of eschews in favor of its high concept logic puzzle. And for my money, the high concept logic puzzle worked most of the time. There were a couple parts of the puzzle that felt like a stretch more than a, like just a random connection between two things to make it work. But for the most part, I really liked it. I liked all the visionaries, really love all the character development. I say poo-poo to people who didn't like the ending because I don't know how you're supposed to end a time loop story. And I spend all my life thinking about stories and how they should end. And there's only really three ways to go with a time loop story. And in this game, you can get any of those three endings. So I don't know what you wanted out of people who didn't like the ending, which I did see was a thing online. But by and large, I really enjoyed it other than Alexei's party, which I thought was a poorly designed level, which is a shame because it's the climax of the game.
Yeah.
That's my hot take part of the rant, and I'm done.
Yeah. I think that's by the way, we're gonna pass another checkpoint. Another drunken morning on the beach.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and everybody. It's spring, and with the weather changing and so many great things coming up like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, I definitely need a fresh spring wardrobe for every occasion. This spring, I'm looking for that perfect flowy spring dress for Mother's Day, as well as replacing my everyday basics. That's what I love about JCPenney. They have so many stylish and comfortable options that I always find just what I'm looking for there. Spring is a feel-good season and comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. The fashion at JCPenney is the same way. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with styles that gets you something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes, and Stafford and Mutual Weave for him, style and comfort for all, even big and tall. Plus even more for the whole family, like Levi's and Exertion. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
You can work from the road while turning your vehicle into a powerful high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On a network that covers more roads than any other carrier, connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to see if you're eligible for a free trial today. Based on independent third-party data, always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Another,
which brings us to game on.
Dave slowly pulls the mask down. yeah, I also didn't like the final level, which was the party. And is it because you tried to do it stealth? Is that what you tried to do, Mike?
It's because I tried to do it many times in some elegant or clever way.
Yes, me too.
And finally, I beat it by, as Dave suggests, just throwing some turrets down, shooting everyone in the head, and moving on.
Right.
Did you guys all stay on the roof? Because I immediately realized that the roof in that area is like magic.
Yes, it is.
You can just stand on the roof. No one bothers you. They all just like stand down there like dipshits while you just shoot them all.
You could do it from the rafters inside the building too. But I think the key ingredient here is that the game wanted you to do an elegant assassination, and you end up basically having a massacre, like a giant shootout massacre.
You're supposed to like sneak into a guy's bedroom and use the tape deck to create a false announcement to get people to move. And I'm like, look, I'll just shoot all these guys as they come up the stairs. How about that?
How about that? Yeah. How you feel about that idea? Yeah, I mean, I agree with Dave that you can. Sorry, Dave. I agree that you can. Like, the game is designed to let you barrel through it if that's what you want to do, but it clearly is encouraging you to try and do, like, be a stealthy assassin type. Like, that's what it wants you to do, but it doesn't make it easy.
It needs to punish you more. That is the fault of the game, then, because, like, I think of, like, The Last of Us, where not only does it feel good to stealth through an area, but, if you don't stealth, you're kind of fucked, and if you make it out, you feel awful because you're like, I had to run, I missed a bunch of things, I'm gonna go back and replay it. like, because you want to get it right, because it punishes you for not. This game, not so much. So once I realized that and that the game wasn't punishing me, I was like, well, shit, I'm just going to stand on this roof and deal with people. And I'm going to enjoy that.
You do gain something from that, which is, you're totally right that it felt like a, like ripping through a guitar solo or something. Like, you just feel like you're in a big sandbox full of ragdolls that you get to fuck around with.
Right. And it really depends on what you've started the game, what your intentions are, what satisfaction you're getting. I would just argue that the AI in this game is not very good.
It's not great. Yeah.
It's I would say it's bad, and I liked that about it. Because it was nostalgic, and because of the way I was playing, it's what you're saying, Michael. It's just like, yeah, it's ragdoll fun. I just get to do a bunch of fun ways to kill these people, because I can take my time and they're not that difficult. I don't think I ever hit a point where I reset on that beach and was like, fuck, I was almost there. You know, like, it was never that difficult. Yes, there were times, like, I maybe died 3 times playing this, like, reset. But they give you all these things, like the fact that you get second chances, you get like 3 strikes.
Yeah, they really work hard against the idea of a time loop. That's the thing is, like, this game, it feels like they structured it to try and like check a lot of different boxes that are contradictory, and did a pretty good job navigating all that. For instance, one thing they had to do is exactly what Mike said, which is they know they're making an arcane game with basically the same power set as Dishonored 2. Although a little bit streamlined. So they want to make sure that you can do these like insane magical assassination things that Dishonored 2 is so great at. And like, if you go on YouTube and just search out like, you know, assassinations from Dishonored 2, you're going to see some real sorcery.
Like Dishonored 2 complex kills.
You're going to see some
it's so fun.
Real sorcery. It's like, whoa, that is amazing. So they kind of wanted to leave the space for that to still exist in this game, but also it's not really the right game for that. Like, the game wants you to like try to, you know, like it wants you to play it as though you're a detective solving this thing, and like if you have to dispose of a guy or two, sure, great. Like, but you're basically playing as like Mike Urbantraut from Breaking Bad here. You know what I mean? Like, that's the kind of character this is.
I do appreciate that the game wants you to do it a certain way, but doesn't make you.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing that irritates me more than when a game is like, you have to do it our way, and if their way isn't fun, then and I see a more fun way to do it. And I'm like, but can I just do this? I would like to do that. And they're like, no, you better not. Like, I appreciate that they're like, hey, here's a fun way to play it. But also, there's a lot of ways to play it.
Doubly impressive that a thing that's about an inescapable time loop where everything always happens the same and there is only one solution to the game ultimately.
Right. That's interesting.
Still feels like you can play it any way you want.
Right, because
that is an amazing contradictory accomplishment.
Yes, I agree with you. That's actually my favorite thing about the game, is that it managed to check those boxes that it shouldn't have been able to do, and it did.
And well, I think it's because the short game they make as very free as you want, where they're like, here's point A, point B to get to this checkpoint. You can do that in any way you see fit. You can stealth it. There's only one part where they make it so that you have to do stealth, which is that the lady who will blow up the her base if you're
she
detected,
even glimpses the gas you
lady,
or whatever,
the lady with the gas,
and even that, like, all I did was I took her out first, and then I had a blast, and then I just killed everybody else.
You did
in
some
there.
Real mass mayhem here.
I did a lot of. And I'm sure you guys have experienced this with games where you go in, you go blasting, you kill everybody, and then you walk up to a vent and you're like, oh, I think I was supposed to come in from here.
Yeah.
Where it's
oh,
they wanted me to trigger this, which would open this, which would make this guy.
Or not even wanted me to, but this is one of the 3 pathways.
Yes.
Oh, this little hatch, that's clearly one of the pathways I could have used. Oh,
yes.
Well.
And so I think they definitely do it where in the end they're like, yeah, you have to do this to do this to do this to get these people at the party and to drown these people here. But how you actually get from checkpoint to checkpoint is very open, and that, I think, saves that element of it and makes it very open.
And then on top of that, I think Arcane doesn't get enough credit for, because in a world of soft reboots and shit that is just like building off of existing franchises, Arcane has created three completely distinct new worlds with elements that did not exist before.
Yeah.
Deathloop, Prey, and Dishonored.
Yeah.
Every time they come out swinging with new stories to tell. And
very
that's
cool.
So impressive. And just to zoom in on Deathloop, Colt and Juliana fucking rip. Like,
yeah,
they're some of the most fun video game characters.
Yes.
In a long, long
time. They really
time.
Are.
And they have character. Like, they are unique. We just did a Halo Infinite episode, and this is almost the opposite. They are not John 1:17 just saying generic
here
hero
we go.
Lines like,
yeah,
we must move forward.
Yeah, yeah.
No, their banter is great.
Their banter's phenomenal and specific to them and specific to the time period.
And
it's really cool.
And it does a really nice job of sort of meeting out the actual underlying relationship and the underlying context from just like casual banter, which I personally like. That's the thing I like in movies, is when like a movie is like, we're gonna make this feel so lived in and real that you're gonna start to get the backstory without us ever explaining it to you. You know, like there's a lot of great movies like that. The one that pops to mind the best is Glengarry Glen Ross. A movie where it's like, you know exactly what's been going on in this room without anybody telling you because of the tone and the way
right.
they act. And like, this game has a little bit of that, you know, like especially between Colt and Juliana, like that's just great directing, you know?
Yeah.
But I would say, and the Eternalists, it does have a legitimate, I don't know, like
yeah,
I've attended,
too.
I've been at things at 5 a.m. where everyone's drugged out and they actually kind of accomplish that vibe.
Yes.
Like the island does feel like a
big party.
Like a big fucking party in here. Which is such a weird milieu to come in and murder everyone.
Yeah.
But,
it reminds me of
It
reminds me of like when I used to wander around my friend's college campus. And there's mm-hmm. all these little like stories happening. Everybody's fucked up and everybody's doing their own stuff. And you're like,
and I'm not even from here, so I can do whatever I want.
Exactly.
Exactly.
I can kill all these people. Yeah. I have a question.
I'm ready.
Mm-hmm.
Michael, you said you weren't sure about a sequel for this. Adam, do you feel the same way?
Yeah, I do. I don't think this game needs a sequel, or I guess my caveat would be, I mean, I would like to play this kind of game again. I would think that Deathloop 2 would be the very rare but occasionally happens, just like same premise, different place. You know,
that,
like,
all right,
you
so
know, that's the only way I could see it, honestly.
Well, another way to do it is you do same loop, different character.
That's
like,
that's
if
an interesting
you do
idea.
Like,
yeah.
Oh, there's someone else who is going through their own adventure on this island. But I do think it would have to, I would rather see different characters, different place, continue like the corporation or, you know, the people who are, who created the Death Loop originally, mm-hmm. like do something with that, do a prequel.
There's ways into it.
Yeah. I think Colt's story is over.
Yeah. I mean, unless you play
I didn't mind the ending at all, by the way. The ending was, it's what Michael said. I don't know how else they would have ended it.
Unless you play as a different Colt. See, like, that's a thing that I think
yeah,
was a little bit vaguely wrapped up, is the fact that he's kind of intervening in his own story is a little vague. And I could see them saying, like, well, then there was one Colt who did this, and so the events went this way, and now we have a totally different game. I could see that.
Yeah.
But my gut response is, the reason to do this again is not for more of this story. It's for more of this premise and
yes,
and more of this experience. And I don't want to be on this island again. I want to be, you know, some other place in the tropics somewhere, whatever. You know?
Here's what I'd frame it as, is it's basically one big escape room game.
Yes,
like,
that's what
like
it is.
The room.
Very good.
Puzzle games. And so like the beauty of escape rooms is you can keep making them and make new puzzles, make new environments. And so that's what it is like, I want to see different environments, different powers, different guns, and different puzzles. Those elements were really fun in this, and I don't see why, like, I was sad when it ended because it was like, oh, it's done. And so like, I think this is a premise that you can keep honing in and make sequels for, and the sequels every time will just get better and better because they're like, well, what are some other puzzles we can do? What are some other elements we can bring in? I actually think
they could refine further. A lot, some of the puzzles were tremendously satisfying. I really liked the tiptoeing through the vents and going across the wings of the plane and then killing that lady and immediately gassing everyone. I enjoyed that quite a bit.
Wait, that's how you solved that?
Oh, yeah, you gas them all. Absolutely, Dave. Did you not all do right, that? So
can I tell you guys what I did?
Sure.
Please.
I stood outside the warehouse through a window and just killed them all one by one because their AI isn't very good. All I did was I stood outside. There's a window that you can stand up and look through, and I threw grenades through, and I shot them all one
by
one.
And I took my turn. I took my time and murdered them all individually. Yeah,
I did, and they just sort of pace, and they're like, oh, what's going on? And you just shoot them until there's no more, and then you just casually walk through and go in and assassinate that lady. I didn't really use vents much. I didn't... How did you get in? I literally would just jump through that that laser gate that was like would explode.
So you didn't like really just, try to figure shit out. You just like you barely just
let it. They didn't
let
punish
that laser
you.
Hit you. Who cares?
Yeah, they didn't punish you enough. So I would just jump through, heal myself, and then I'm like, and I'm here. And she in the other room doesn't notice. That's the thing. Right. The explosions go off. She doesn't notice.
She keeps giving her speech. Yeah.
Yeah. So you just walk in and you shoot her because they didn't design the AI to react to any of this
stuff. I just love the idea that your argument is essentially like, they didn't force me to do it the way they suggested, so I'm not gonna. And it's like, okay, that's fine. But it's possible that you would have appreciated this grand several course meal in the order they arranged it. That's possible.
For sure.
If you'd tried.
This feels like a Hitman level.
Yeah, a little bit. Yes, a little bit.
It's an option. Well, it's a Hitman level where you could also just shoot everybody.
Which you can't really do in that game. Yeah.
Yeah, you can't. If they wanted me to take those routes, they should have made it the consequences for not taking those routes harder, which honestly would have pissed me off. So I think they did the best thing.
This game included you, which a lot of games wouldn't.
Yeah,
it, yeah. A lot of games
I guess
wouldn't.
It did because it still included the I did meticulously figure out what they wanted me to do and where they wanted me to go, and I got the code and I disabled the laser and I snuck up behind her and slit her throat in the middle of the speech and quickly gassed everyone. And I'm positive that's what they meant for me to do.
I didn't know you could disable the lasers.
Oh, yeah. Well, you can blink through them or whatever, right?
I mean, I think so. It's pretty rare now for a game that leaves you both options to walk away feeling satisfied with what the intended
both
result
types
were.
Of players feel satisfied.
Yeah, that's pretty rare. I mean, like certain and also I think a lot of designers are abandoning that idea. You know what I mean? Like, I think that even Grand Theft Auto, which I would say has always been the game franchise that let you mow everyone down if you wanted to, or like Far Cry. They've kind of moved away from that. Like this most recent Far Cry, which I don't even know if we're going to cover it on this show, moved away.
It's just underwhelming.
It's not very good. It moved away from letting you do these mass murders that was a part of that game franchise.
Right.
Like that game really, that's what you expect out of Far Cry. You can't really do that now in the new one. And it's
in 6, you slowly chip away at the forward operating base till you finally capture it. And you're like, Jesus, that was harder than it needed to be.
That was tedious and exhausting. Yeah.
There's nothing worse to me than when a game fades to black and says, you weren't supposed to do that. You know what I mean? Like that used to be a thing they do where you triggered the alarm. To me, that's like if you're playing D&D and a DM says, nope, you can't do that.
That ruins the thing I had planned.
Exactly. But counterpoint. So I agree with you. But counterpoint, you named one of the best games ever at restricting what you're able to do, which is Last of Us 2. Last of Us, both
but
of them.
But here's how those games get around this is that, yes, you have to do things certain ways. But they never fades to black and says, you weren't supposed to do that. It says, okay, you did that. Guess what? The consequences are terrible. Everybody's shooting at you. You probably won't make it out. And if you do, you've lost most of your supplies and bullets.
Right. Instead of preventing you from experiencing the consequences, they just let you have the consequences.
Exactly.
That makes sense. I would argue that really, though, it's because you're much more invested in that character acting like that character and doing what that character too would do. I think that most, you know.
There's an element of role-playing where you're like, I want to be sneaky. Yeah. That's the whole, that's the character. Like, Assassin's Creed is another game, even the early ones, where you can just run in and kill everybody. And again, it's the Last of Us situation where it's like, that's going to have a lot of consequences, but you can do it. But it's like, no, I'm an assassin. I want to do it smooth.
Yeah, right.
This game, Deathloop, Colt never felt like a smooth assassin to me. So I was like, no, I'm a tank. I'm going to just go and shoot.
Yeah, he's like the time loop. Like I said, he's
the time loop piece actually speaks to like you. It's an element of the plot that these people are going to come back to life.
Yeah.
So you don't even feel like you're being disingenuous to the character by mowing everyone down because he's sick of this shit. He's done this 1,000 times. They're always going to come back to life. He would be mowing everyone down.
It's the Groundhog Day technique. He's right where in the middle. Like, I go around this corner.
He's right in the middle emotionally, where he's not like, he's not a James Bond type, like an assassin. Like, he's, that's not the kind of person he is. So you don't feel as beholden to like, I got to do this in an elegant hitman-esque way. But he's also not a complete, you know, he's not the Doom guy either. Like, so they carefully dialed him in as a person, especially because he has such a strong point of view to, again, give you this kind of flexibility. You know, like the way that he banters with Juliana is very, like, playful. You know, like.
Playful, but brutal. Brutal.
That's what we're describing right now, aren't we? Like, the difference in those styles. Yeah. So we can see the wisdom of that approach.
Really? Yeah, that's so. Yeah, I clearly was playing the game wrong, but I will say nothing in the game, like you guys are saying, indicated to me that stealth was the way to go.
Then you weren't playing it wrong. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you weren't playing it wrong.
The game encompasses that play style.
Clearly.
Because it's like what you're saying, the characters, he's fed up. The time loop has the Groundhog Day element where it's like, oh, no, you just learn where everybody is. You go and you shoot everybody in the head. That's what that's what you would do in a time loop. You'd go, oh, a person's going to come over there. Then a person's going to come over there. Why be stealthy when you know what everything that's going to happen? So
it's
like,
especially funny when you figure out, when you like really nail how to kill one set of visionaries, but you're working on researching the next set. So you'll reset several loops and you'll be like, anyway, yada, 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 drown these people.
Right.
Okay,
right,
now what? Now what? And then you'll be like, ah, that wasn't it. Okay, drown these people, but now what? I like that feeling of knowing that there's a piece that's under your belt that you're going to nail every time and you've moved beyond it.
Yeah, the first one to me was the scientist who could clone herself.
Yeah, she was interesting.
Why do I have a feeling I did it wrong? I went in and just shot them all.
No, that's what you have to do the first time. Okay. But the way to like finish the loop is you have to get her at a party and kill her at the party.
Oh yeah, I did that. Yeah.
The loop only has one solution, so I don't I don't think there's.
It does.
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it's one and only
that would
one.
Be so now if they were ever going to do a sequel, I would say like the one thing they would have to do for me to like say great sequel is have enough pieces that there was more than one solution.
I agree.
Like several solutions.
I felt like I had almost killed them all in one loop, but it wasn't what they wanted.
Right.
And obviously you had to do the specific thing. I think it would be really fun if the conversation we were having right now is, oh, you did it that way? I did it a completely different way.
Exactly.
Like, I think that would be really cool. That's a tall order. That's a lot to ask.
That's Breath of the Wild. You know what I mean? Like, that's what that
kind of...
I don't know what you mean
by that.
I'll
explain it.
And I love Breath of the Wild.
I'll explain it. Breath of the Wild is, again, and you choose the engagements any which way you want, and then, you know, you have to face the final boss or whatever, or the final level, but, like, you're allowed to play it with complete freedom, and the only gatekeeping is, like, there are some shrines and stuff that are out of your reach because you don't have the tools. Like, that's the only way they do any gatekeeping
at all. Can you theoretically just walk directly the castle and fight Ganon?
Someone has beaten the game in like 10 minutes doing that. Yes.
That's interesting.
That's actually interesting. All right. I see what you mean. Yeah.
You know what's interesting? So part of I think this is part of the nostalgia. I just realized this game reminds me of Mario 64 now that we're talking about Nintendo stuff.
Mm.
Because Mario 64 is one of those games where they're like, ooh, you're going to climb up this puzzle and do this. And it's like, yeah, but you gave me a triple jump. So if you wanted me to do that, don't give me a triple jump, because it turns out I can just bounce off the wall here and go up there every time, and it's really easy. That's what this is that they created these obstacle courses for you, but then also gave you the ability to completely jump over them.
I mean, that's because that game was, you're right, that game was trying to train us how to operate a character in three-dimensional space, and they needed to make it easy enough for somebody who wasn't going to get it to still get a star.
That's like, true.
But that is a key element of interactive media, right? Or like, to bring it back to Breath of the Wild, it totally has that going for it. I'm replaying Breath of the Wild right now, and I just did the part where you get to Zora's domain, and there's this very particular path you have to stay on because it's raining and you can't climb and you got to fight all these Lizalfos to get through there. But if you have the ability to do Revali's Gale and jump up super high, you can just skip it all. You can just soar over here and climb up this weird protrusion they missed where you actually can land and it's sheltered from the rain and you can climb all the way up. And you know what? The game responds to that and it folds that into itself and it's fine. Like, and that doesn't cause any problems. It doesn't fade to black and say you're out of bounds or anything like that.
I like that so much better than a game that's too restrictive. Especially for stuff like speedruns. Obviously, Mario 64 has very fun speedruns. I suspect Deathloop is going to have really fun speedruns, right? Because it does feel like there's a lot of, it felt like there were a lot of things I jumped up on that I was like, I don't think they wanted me up here, but I'm jumping on this. Right. Over here.
Have you seen a game that allows itself to be broken in fun ways? Have you seen the 6-second Hitman speedrun?
Of course, it's incredible. It's like a guy just shooting 5 different ways, like from the spawn point, and kills everybody
from the spawn.
It's amazing.
Point, he figured out that if you shoot a chandelier, it makes a ding noise that summons your target, because they hear it, to the end of the hall where you can just barely see the tip of their head and you can just, within 6 seconds of the level loading, kill your target and get out of there.
That's a different one that I'm thinking of. But yeah, there's always some way in Hitman to
to just hotwire the whole thing. Yeah, and I think Deathloop has that going for it for sure.
And that's the reason I use Breath of the Wild is I think Breath of the Wild was designed with freedom in mind. That's the idea. That's the biggest idea of that game is we're going to let you do whatever you want.
But I do think it's cool to compare it to an escape room in the sense that what Deathloop is presenting is, yes, we have freedom in mind, but there are these milestones that everyone's going to experience the same, and the solution is the solution.
That's right.
That does appeal to me in the way that escape rooms appeal to me.
I'm not opposed to having a specific experience that's designed for me by a designer, as long as it's fun, which I think none of us are saying I won't do that, but I think the bar for how fun it has to be is different for every player.
Yeah.
I agree with that. That's okay. So there's that, but I think, again, the genius of Deathloop is it really is asking you to do to hit these 10 different gates and pass through these gates before you can beat the game. But the rest, everything leading up to the gate is whatever you want it to be. You know, it's very segmented in that way, and that's, I think, what makes it work.
I would compare, again, this gameplay style to something like Uncharted, where there's this weird... Uncharted is on the rails. It's ridiculously on the rails, right? But it gives you these moments where they're like, here's a big room. You can handle this situation anyway. You can be stealth. It's really good to be stealth.
Especially the fourth one.
And it's satisfying. Yeah, even if you're being stealth, everybody else is being stealth. But, you know, where every playthrough is more or less the same. Or here's a big shootout sequence. And it's... almost the illusion of choice. It's when a game makes me feel like, well, why aren't you just be a movie then if you're going to be this oppressive? Uncharted, I always thought, was really good at making me feel that emotion of playing a game, making decisions, solving puzzles, figuring it out, while being on the rails and leading me in a natural way. The new Call of Duty, I think, failed at that. Vanguard, where Call of Duty to me feels like it should be way more open, but it keeps leading you into these small rooms, and it feels so on the rails for a Call of Duty, and that's not what I want for that.
That's interesting, because they can't give you set pieces on the level that you're accustomed to in Call of Duty unless they do that right now. Like, if they were to give you, here's the entire D-Day invasion, that's level one. So do that however you want to do it. And then, like, level two is, like, now we're going to assault a fortress in Berlin. You know what I mean? Like, that's an 800 gigabyte. I know, me too. It's just that it's a terabyte-size game, and it would take them 100 years to do it and cost $500.
Honestly, with Call of Duty, and I know this isn't a podcast about that, make the graphics less good then. I don't give a shit about your graphics. Here's point A, here's point B, and there's a million ways to get there. But they're all dangerous, and you gotta get through this battlefield or this jungle or this city. And that was when Call of Duty to me always felt the strongest.
Do you play the battlefield games?
I played a few, and I know that is more like... Yeah, they're not Kim. Yeah, I think Call of Duty, the multiplayer is my jam. It's always been my jam. I'm just talking about the campaigns have taken a decline. And so it's those two things of like, it's whenever I can see the game doing that, putting up walls, it really irritates me. And when it's like, no, you have to play it this way, it really irritates me. Unless they're able, because then you look at Uncharted, which is very much all of that stuff, but it does it so elegantly. And the way that they're like, you have to play it this way is so fun. And you know, that's what you're there to do. Like The Last of Us.
Well, again, you pick two Naughty Dog Studios. I was going to say,
Naughty Dog's specific thing is a precise, they have mastered the formula of the balance between how much is it interactive and how much is it just a movie.
Right.
And they have a very unique balance between those elements, and that is like their signature.
And they're very it's good to at the it.
Point where in Last of Us 2 you'll get on a horse and you'll ride around the snow and you'll be like, I guess I could go anywhere. And you're like, actually, if I really push the boundaries and look carefully, I'm getting slowly funneled toward the only gate that I can go through.
Exactly.
But I never would have noticed. Right. Yeah, yes. It feels like I could go anywhere.
And it's stuff where like the camera will like tilt in a direction towards
something
on the wall. Yeah, that you're like, ooh, I think I should climb up there. And they're very good at that. And you know that's what you're getting.
What a lot of games are doing now to try to meet all these, to meet that need, but also the need for it to be directed, you know, which is, you know, what a lot of gamers want is for it to be directed, is they do what I might call an Assassin's Creed approach or a Ubisoft approach, which is this. The campaign missions are very directed and they're not wide open. You know, they're set piece driven. They're meant to teach you the specific skills and give you the, this is the cool mission in Notre Dame. This is the cool mission at the top of the pyramids or whatever, right? Like that's
right.
And then the overworld that you're allowed to sort of journey throughout is where you get this freedom approach to do whatever the hell you want. And they just give you endless little mini games to play. That's what they do. And I think we're getting tired of that formula because we actually want the freedom in the main campaign. And the game designers are like, how do we do that without abandoning structure that we're used to, you know?
Right. And Deathloop is a very specific, it feels like a new mix of those elements that it is in some kind of different ratio than it was before.
And I think a lot of that comes from the fact that they weren't afraid of the fact that their little puzzles they've created in the environments, in the maps, can be broken very easily if you're lazy. I think the fact that they didn't try too hard to make sure, no, you have to do it this way, that's, and they just accepted that it's like, look, there's other ways to beat this, to kill this person or to get through this area, but we're giving you a fun way to go through. I think maybe they could have done the Hitman route where they're like, we're going to give you like 10 ways. That would be fun too. And then discovering the ways, but they're setting the tone in this game.
It's tough.
So as far as I'm concerned, this system works.
Hitman is so silly. And I think it has to be silly to justify what the actual mechanic is, which is like follow these three strings of clues.
Rube Goldberg machine to kill someone.
In order to justify it being a game. Whenever you shoot a target in Hitman and that's all you do and then you run out, you're like, well, okay, but I feel like I didn't play the game. So it's not really that free. Just quick little note here. This game won Best Game Direction at the Game Awards, even though it lost Game of the Year at the Gamies. It won Best Game Direction. I think that, and we've talked basically exclusively about that thus far. So I want to move us into just a conversation about this developer, if we can. Mike, can you say a little more about this game as it compares to Dishonored 2? Just a little bit about that?
Yeah, well, I think you already put it well when you said streamlined, and that's another word for less. Like, there's less, it's less finicky, but at the same time, there's slightly less capabilities. So Dishonored 2 could be, pardon the pun, but a little arcane and like obtuse and finicky. And you could find yourself frustrated by the AI almost being too good, or like, man, there's no way to hide from this fucking guy. Or Dishonored 2 would have these very complex interactions between the various magical powers that you could get that really could be raised to a level of wizardry that just has to be seen to be believed, but also leads to, it does hamper the feeling that you can just barrel your way through. I think Dishonored 2 is more punishing if you try to barrel your way through.
Until you get really, really good.
Unless you're so good that you can improvise to that degree, which I never really got that good. So I would play it the way it wanted to be played. And I do think Deathloop is a refinement of the freedom principle that we've been like championing this whole episode. Mm-hmm. But there is, I guess, as someone who's very open to being directed, my favorite games are on rails, and it doesn't really bother me that they're on rails for some reason, or that's just happens to be the type of gamer I am. I kind of liked Arcane 2 because I liked the feeling. I'm just very authoritarian, I guess. I liked submitting to the will of the developer and going, oh, I'm supposed to do this and this and this, and then this happens. That's very cool. Thank you, Daddy. I did it the way you told me to.
I mean, I think that your desire for story dictates that kind of approach to a video game, right? See, like Dave has already sacrificed graphics if he needs to. I think he would also probably sacrifice story experience as long as the game is fun. I don't want to...
As long as the fuck around factor is really good.
All right, so... So, Michael, you're a game sub. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I spend the game trying to figure out how I can please the game designers. Yes.
Yeah, I go both ways. Like that's the thing is it depends on the game. The Last of Us is a game where I'm like, just do it to me. I want the story.
I want to do what you want me to do.
I will rush through parts, depending on the part, to be like, I want the more story. I am firmly on the rails, and it also does a very good job at, you know, guiding me through the game.
But then
I look at a game like it's you know what I angered me about Assassin's Creed or the new Call of Duty campaigns, where it's what bothers me more is when a game is like, so this is what we are. And I'm like, great, I like that. And then they get through a few sequels and they're like, actually, we're this now. And if I don't like that, I'm like, well, fuck you. You took away the thing that I liked. So consistency for me is more of what I want.
What about a franchise like Fallout or Skyrim, where
haven't played either.
Oh, now see that, I think that's interesting.
I tried to play both. Yeah. And so I have like a natural aversion to RPG elements.
Uh-huh.
So whenever like a person walks up and there's a paragraph, I'm like, well, I'm not here to read.
Or they're like, you have 36 points. What category do you want to invest the points in?
Exactly.
Like,
I'm out. At that.
I'm okay with that on a basic level, the point system.
What that means in terms of game experience is that like the kind of story you're willing to experience is largely cutscenes or simple cinematics or simple playable events. But
it depends,
not the version that's like the D&D version where you're going to read or listen to somebody spill.
Look, I'm not playing a video game to read.
Mike's favorite games are like that, to be clear.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I love a good open world and RPG, a game where there's a lot of things to do. What bothers me a lot of the time is when it breaks my brain. Like the new God of War, obviously very fun game. But one of the elements I didn't like was that they tried to create that RPG feel, that open world feel, but it was still on rails. And that bugs me to no end because it makes me feel like I'm missing things. The new Star Wars game was like that too.
Why can't I go over there? I'm the fucking God of War. Yeah. Why can't I go in this area?
It's more like the new Star Wars game did that too, where there's
the Fallout, if you get, or the Fallen Order. Is it that one?
Fallen Order, okay. Whatever. Where they're like, oh, collect these dildos, and if you get enough of these dildos, you get a new power, you upgrade, and you can put that power and stuff. But like if you remember the original God of Wars,
I do.
They had that dildo system as well, where like, yeah, you slowly, but you never had a fork in the road. It was always just like, yeah,
more,
keep getting them. Yeah. I hate when they're like, we're trying to be open world, and by that we mean we're just going to make like a bigger maze. And it's like, well, shit, I don't want to have to constantly go down hallways and then come back and go down the next one. Like, either make it truly open world or just make a linear story.
You don't want these tweener things.
Yeah.
Except for this game is like this game is between.
Deathloop?
Yeah. That's what we've been saying.
It never felt in between.
But it is.
I never felt like I had to backtrack. I never felt like if I don't go that way, I might miss some power up. That's very important.
And yet, like, ultimately, at the end of the day, it's an escape room with only one solution. Right.
Yeah,
I think that's what
I'm saying. Like, that, and also, I mean, I think that Dave's really objecting more to the RPG elements of like collecting and sorting through stuff than he is about story units.
I don't like that in the open world unit elements when it's applied to a game that isn't that.
Right.
That isn't like when it's shoehorned into a game that before this point was another game and it's not done elegantly enough to matter. So
Yeah, RPG elements are like the cranberry juice of video games. They're just in everything now.
Yep.
Exactly. Yeah. And some games, they simply don't belong.
Some games.
You know, I play very open world games when, like, survival games tend to be extremely open world, where there's no wrong answers.
Only wrong
questions. You're
just
building up.
Yeah. The way you play.
But it's when that shit is shoehorned in. Skyrim, going back to Skyrim and Fallout, I'm sure they're very good games. Part of it is also that I played them way later, and so like there had already been games like them, you know. And so it's a little bit of that. It's a little bit of where I was in life, where I was like, both of those games also screamed at me, you're gonna need a lot of time,
right?
And I was like, I don't have time for this.
But that's what I wanted when I was that age, was bang for my buck. Right. Like, I can't overstate how much Fallout 2, playing it when it came out, I was like, this is my life now, and I can pour hundreds of hours into it. This is amazing.
And now Assassin's Creed Valhalla just seems like the worst kind of chore in the world. Like, I don't want to do any of that.
Slog of tedium.
Well, don't get me started on that.
Well, I will get you started on it when we do an Assassin's Creed episode, because I want you on for whatever that ends up being.
Please, I'll have to play Valhalla, though.
It may not be that one. It might be a different one. Okay. Anyway, because there's lots of those, and we should cover a few of them. I just wanted to say one thing. I wanted to actually bring up that thing I was saying earlier, which is I think the reason why this particular game resonated more than Dishonored ultimately, Mike, and I think you're going to be surprised by this, is I think I liked the art style of this game better.
Yeah, it's the style.
I really think that's what it is.
It's the best style that Arkane has whipped up
like,
so far.
I like the Whaler steampunk thing of Dishonored, and I think the second one did a better job of it than the first.
I just appreciate that it's new,
and it's
fresh.
Colorful, and it's not, you know what I mean? Yeah. And it just was better. Although I'm getting very tired of first person shooter levels and bunkers. Like I'd like to not play another bunker for a while.
You'd like to put the kibosh on bunkers?
A little bit, man. They're in every freaking game. Like if you played, we just played through Wolfenstein. That game is almost exclusively bunkers. There's just so many first person shooters that take place in like a quasi Soviet looking bunker, and it's like, man, you know, like let's come up with something else.
Games are obsessed with that aesthetic,
right? But like the games that aren't, you know, cough cough, Destiny.
Now wait, are we saying Deathloop falls into
it
that?
Falls into it a little bit.
It's bad. Like, I'm confused about where
falls,
we're going.
It falls into it a little bit because there's like three or four levels that are basically all bunker. Or sections.
Sure.
And those are the...
It's still got style out the ass, though.
But it slows
like
down there.
Fresh style.
But it slows down there, where it's like, well, it's not as fun.
I agree.
Anyway, that's just a note for future developers. We have gone over time. We should get into our final segment.
Well, before we do, sorry, I just wanted to ask, because we haven't really touched on the ending, when you break the loop, in the ending where you break the loop and Juliana's mad at you and storms away... Did you guys notice that the sky's all fucked up?
Yeah.
So does that mean the world ends if you break the loop? I wanted to know how you interpreted that. Or is that the doorway to a sequel?
I think it was, for me, it just felt like something had exploded everywhere, and it was making stupid sky.
Well,
it was just like, oh, there's some sort of bullshit happening back there. I didn't think much about
They have that gigantic machine that generates what must be sort of like a rift in space and time. So I imagine it was that thing not operating anymore that messed up the... Like, I didn't get anything clear out of that.
Yeah, it could set up a sequel for sure.
Yeah, it could be.
I guess I just wanted to check my interpretation against your guys's, because I felt my interpretation of the ending was you can't, which I find refreshing, there is no perfect ending. You can break the loop, which makes Juliana not like you, or you can stay in the loop, which is failure, but then you get to be with Juliana still.
Yeah, did anybody stay in the loop?
Well, I did.
I tried them all just to see what would happen.
I just broke. Wait, there's three?
Yeah, you can kill Juliana, kill yourself, or kill both of you. And they all have different things happen. But they all boil down to the loop either continues or it doesn't. What I thought was a cool, emotionally satisfying ending for me was that if you break the loop, good, you succeeded. Now you've ruined the relationship with your daughter. Sorry, spoiler alert for Deathloop. And if you don't break the loop, then you failed at the nominal goal of the game, but you get to stay forever in this twisted way with your daughter.
I guess,
cool. That's a cool, tragic sci-fi conundrum to have whipped up.
Yeah, I guess I figured my daughter would get over it. And if she didn't, it's kind of on her.
Fuck
like,
her.
She shouldn't be mad at me for not wanting to live in an endless loop
Old,
of hell.
Compassionate like, Dave.
Yeah, well, no. If, like, in real life, if someone
in
was like,
life.
I'm not going to love you.
Okay, go ahead.
In real life, if someone was like, my love for you is conditional on you being in this place that you hate, and I leave the place that I hate, and they're like, I can't believe you did that. My answer is, well, fuck you. Like, your love was conditional on me being miserable? No. That's staying in the loop then is, that's toxic. And so, like, she's either gonna see the error of her ways, or that relationship is over.
Because all Colt really wants is for time to move forward in the natural way.
I
think he thinks that the loop itself is sort of an abomination. I think that we've dramatically reduced her point of view in this analogy, although I agree with the version you said. I think the one that I think of as canon is that I killed her and myself. You know, that's the one I did, which...
The old MS?
Yeah, that seemed like the right thing to do. And then that's the most ambiguous ending. Right, she's there holding him up at gunpoint, but then she walks off, and then you're like, "Now what?" You know, like that's kind of the ending.
It's unclear what that resulted in, yeah.
Which I think is that ambiguity is, I think, the point of it.
Yeah,
and again, as we've said, what else are you going to do with a time loop story? It continues to loop, or it stops looping. You know, and then the future comes, and the future is unknown. Like, what else are you going to do?
Once you stop the loop, if Andy McDowell is not there with you, you don't really know what to do. exactly. You haven't really done it. Hey, so one last little cute tidbit about the ending. Did you notice that the revolver is the same one from Dishonored? Meaning
no, because
the old dueling
meaning these worlds are canonically linked.
Like Dishonored is the past of the Deathloop world.
That's correct.
Cool.
Which I think suggests more than anything else that they may not be that willing to abandon story units in a sequel. Like, they might feel more beholden to it.
I wonder if there's any argument to be made that in the far future, Prey is also, like, is there just an Arcaniverse and it's all the same?
I mean, it sure seems like it, and I already am sad to hear me say that.
Because they don't need to be.
I don't care about linked universes. I don't care about that.
They don't need to be, but maybe as Easter eggs.
Right.
Like, I always liked the idea that, like, Rockstar could make Red Dead in the same universe as GTA if they wanted to. Wouldn't matter.
But it doesn't have to mean anything.
It doesn't have to mean anything.
It doesn't matter
until... It's just like, yeah, put in a little Easter
egg. It doesn't matter until some genius at a company decides, now we're going to put them together.
We can capitalize
on this.
That's
when it starts to matter, and that's when I'm like, no, I don't want this link to exist.
It's a troubling precedent. I agree with that.
Space Jam
2,
Dave. Space Jam 2.
Space Jam 2, a new legacy, Dave.
So anyway, let's pass the final checkpoint, finally. And move on to our ultimate section.
So we literally shot ourselves in the fucking
heads. Yeah, we did. Like heroes. That's the way heroes would. On to our final segment, Keep or Delete.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and everybody. The weather is getting warmer, and it's time to swap my winter layers for fun, vibrant, and cool clothing. With so many fun things happening this spring, like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, it's hard to find great-looking clothes that fit you just right. That's why I love JCPenney. JCPenney has so many stylish and comfortable options for so many different body types. I've been blown away by their selection, and everything hugs my body in all the right spots. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with style that gets you. Something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
You can work from the road while turning your vehicle into a powerful high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On a network that covers more roads than any other carrier. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls. Finish up that presentation or answer last-minute emails. Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to see if you're eligible for a free trial today. Based on independent third-party data, always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Dave, you should go first this time. You, Dave.
I'm going to keep until Deathloop 2, and then I would probably
provisional
swap it
keep.
Out.
This is provisional keep from Dave.
Well, I mean, you guys know, it's the whole thing is the guest always keeps because the guest doesn't feel the, you know, how finite the supply is.
Right. Or
like,
they wouldn't be the guest.
I've been on maybe
right.
three episodes. So far in my little sack, I have whatever those games are and not a bunch of other games.
You did not keep Far Cry 5, Dave. You deleted
really?
The hell out of that. Yeah.
How do you remember
I
something
have a
like that?
I have a spreadsheet, Dave. Also, my memory is very good, Dave.
I didn't keep Far Cry 5. No. Which one's
that's
that?
That's the one in the
that's
Montana.
That's the America one.
The one in Montana. Oh. You didn't keep it. You were mad at it, Dave.
No. Oh.
Go back and listen to our podcast,
yeah,
Dave.
I can see myself being mad at it. I remember enjoying
but now,
that game
I gotta
all
say
right.
now, in comparison to 6, I think 5 yeah. was like a high watermark
no,
of the
three,
series.
3 is
that's
the high watermark,
in my mind, I'm like, well, fuck. That was a great game relative to what's going on now. But yeah. I guess there are better Far Cries before it, in my opinion.
I think
I think
3, which is one we should cover on this podcast.
3 is the universally agreed upon. We'll cover it someday. Yeah.
Mike, what about you, buddy?
Sheesh. It's really tough for me because I really consider it... A game either had to end with me going... This was an important unit of story for me to imbibe that I will never forget. And very few games rise to that. Or if it's on the gameplay side, I have to think, now that's a unique combination of interactive elements that I don't think I've ever experienced before. And I would say Deathloop is just shy of those goals, so I would delete it.
Deleting it.
Woo!
Wow. Well, we're gonna talk when it comes time to Dishonored 2.
I don't know that that's what I'm saying is I don't know that I'd keep any arcane game, which sucks because they're so good.
Wait, do you delete other games that each other like out of revenge, petty revenge for them deleting games?
I don't think I'm doing that, but maybe subconsciously.
I don't think we've really done that. he did delete Super Mario Odyssey in the first episode, which began a cycle of rage that will never break.
I think I just can't allow myself to be happy, Dave, because I'm the heavy deleter.
No, that's not true
for sure.
That isn't true either. Statistically, it's no. Statistically, it is not true.
But yeah, but I have the feeling you're gonna let Deathloop.
No,
by.
I'm gonna delete it.
yeah, yeah. Oh, I know. Wow.
Not what I expected either. Okay, so we're basically both sourpusses, and we invite guests on to talk about a game they love just so we can bat it down and say it's not good enough.
I will never accept your reductive summaries of what this was. Let me define it, please, Dave. What I'm saying about is I agree with you, Mike, that this game is a really, really well-made game that just isn't a seminal game. And I think on this drive, it needs to be seminal. And I don't think this one is. I leave myself the possibility that in 5-10 years, if we're still doing this, and that like sometimes games kind of stand out and with time, you know.
I also want to say, Arcane, you're gonna make the hard drive. Like I feel like Arcane
I think on a creativity level. They're doing stuff better than, like, I don't know, 98% of game franchises. They're really doing that. So that's all I wanted to say.
This is going back to what I've been saying, is that I liked this game. It's not my favorite game this year, but it was more my feeling was, oh, I can't wait till you hone this in and make a sequel. Like, I can't wait till you make a better version of this. Because, this game
even
was a
smoother,
lot of fun. Yeah.
Yeah, even more tied together. But what was your favorite game of the year, Dave? Do you know that off the top of your head?
It depends on the type of game. Right now, playing way too much Satisfactory.
You love that shit.
I really liked the premise and the gameplay of Void Train. Unfortunately, that game doesn't feel done. And of course, Inscription.
Yeah, as we bonded over. Inscription. But you love those open-ended survival.
I love me a survival game.
None of those.
I wouldn't call them.
None
good.
Of those are like, story-based those are, games. All of them are basically playgrounds.
Well, a lot of it depends on where I am in life. Right now, I've been very busy, so I like a game that I can jump in for an hour or 5 hours, you know? And I can do, and I don't feel like shutting it off. Like, I can shut it off whenever because it's survival-based game, so it's like, yeah, I'm done with that task. I'm going to go. I would say my favorite games of all time were story-based more. Just where I am in life right now, I haven't had time to invest in a story-based game. Also, I find that AAA games lately have been largely bad, so I've been going to Steam and finding weird little indie games. A lot of those are survival games.
I think four out of my five Game of the Year picks were weird little indie games.
I agree that very there have not been excellent AAA games, not last year. I would say the last excellent one was probably Ghost of Tsushima and or Last of Us 2, and that was a year and a half ago. They were both very good. But we need to wrap this up. So thank you, Dave, so much for being on the podcast. Yeah. We love you.
In fact, I believe Dave and I are going to go play some Satisfactory.
You're my favorite of the ghouls, and there are many. Where can people find you on the internet?
Me and Tom, we have the Gamefully Unemployed, which I'm sure people are aware of. Patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. You go on there. We share many, many podcasts with the small beans. So I'll just plug also that I have a Twitter @moviehooligan. And go check out Some More News, because I am the head writer there. That's all.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all feels like stuff people know about. Yeah,
but you probably don't get enough credit for.
I get plenty. I'm in the credits. I'm in those credits.
That's still not enough credit. I think every episode should open with a big old Dave face. You know,
yeah, just my face. Yeah. Oh, like the Batman. Like the
and your voice goes. I wrote this.
Hey, I was.
Cody's been getting a free ride.
Hey, sorry. Let me stop you here. I got a phone call. I got to take. So I'm sorry. I'll be right back.
Bye, everyone.
No, we got to actually sign off, but let me take this phone call. Sorry.
Take your phone call. Dave.
You should leave this in.
Despite what Adam said, we're leaving this in, and you and I are perfectly capable of wrapping out the episode. Don't you agree?
Capable of what? Sorry, you cut out.
wrapping out the episode.
I think so. By the way, I was playing with a knife while we were recording, and I accidentally cut myself.
So you got to go too then.
No,
all right.
I've wrapped my finger. I'm fine. I cut myself like a half hour ago.
Well, I have no reason to leave. I can hang out. So if the listeners want to just
chill. I can hang out for a little while. Yeah, yeah.
You're not bleeding too much?
No, I'm doing good. I'll put a Band-Aid on it. What's your day like? We're playing Satisfactory later. You want to do podcast on that?
Do I think we'll cover Satisfactory?
No, I mean like right now we could just cover it.
Oh, sure. I started playing it a bit so I could get a feel for it. And I got to say, I'm very excited so far because it basically, like, you know how Returnal was just the idea of what if we took one of these stupid roguelite games but did it in a full 3D environment with good graphics and shit.
Right.
This feels like games I already love, like Dyson Sphere Program and Factorio, but just in the 3D space with good graphics and shit.
Okay.
And yeah. I'm very excited about it.
Sorry. So we last laughed at Dave needs to be.
No. There has been no break in the episode, my friend. We're still talking.
Guess who?
Guess who is
editing that out? I definitely will be.
This is
I will
good
be
shit.
Doing that.
I included.
Well, I refuse
such
to pick
important.
Up where we left off. So you're gonna have a hell
cool.
of a time editing this
oh,
one,
cool.
motherfucker.
What a cool. collaboration this is with that attitude
stopping down
two bullies. I love it.
Work complete.
Turns out a delightfully clean home can make for a delightful start to the day. At Mrs. Meyer's, everything they make is inspired by the garden. With plant-derived and other thoughtfully chosen ingredients, their cleaning products smell like a dream and work like the dickens, leaving your home sparkly clean and your to-do list tackled in no time. Goodness, there's no better feeling than that. Mrs. Meyer's, rooted in goodness. Visit MrsMeyers.com today.
You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without the essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. I mean, it provides great protection and it's really breathable so you don't get hot. That's a win-win. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear.
Viking. Committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, cultural enrichment, and all-inclusive fares. Discover more at Viking.com.